All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
Feels so fancy now.
Dude, my man, we got some upgrades in the hizzy.
Yeah.
We're like running on the exact same stuff as like PBS.
Except none of it. except for the hosts.
Yeah. Well, that.
Well, I mean, there's just that.
You had to get technical?
Yeah. So listen, before we get into movies and news and trailers and reviews and listeners' notes, I do have to start the show out with a big shout out.
Oh, snap.
To an important member of the Penn Cinema family.
Okay.
Shout out to Timmy Michael Mercandetti. Today is his wedding day. What?
Oh, my word.
Timmy started working for us. He can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he was a freshman at Millersville University. He started working with us before we opened. Like, he was the OG. He was original gangsta. He started with us because he was old enough to be in the booth, but he certainly worked in the concession stand. And he has a lot of important milestones in the Penn Cinema history.
Oh, my word.
The one that I know he's most proud of is that, you know, when we opened the theater, it was 35 millimeter.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're digital, fully digital, 100%. And in that transition, we lost a position called projectionist.
Oh.
When we opened, there had to be a guy in the booth all day long.
Was that him?
Well, it was often him. Yes, he was a projectionist, and he was a great one. But the title that I know he's most proud of, so I want to recognize, in the transition to digital, he was what we all called the last man standing. So somebody had to be the last guy to run a 35 millimeter film and be a projectionist in the booth.
And that was him.
And I know that it meant a lot to him that he was the last man standing. And the other great thing about Timmy is shout out to his company, 30 West, which does DJs and hosts entertainment. And over your shoulders, pictures from the opening night of Star Wars, Force Awakens.
Force Awakens.
And all those incredibly cool lights and the music and the whole ambiance. And there was a lot of people that came together to make that night special, including Drew Schaefer and, you know, yourself and all the fans and everybody. But Timmy, his company, 30 West, did all those cool lights. Yeah. And they were sort of the keystone of that. They had the photo booth. They had so many cool things. But the reason why I really mention it is because a lot of people have the idea like, hey, I'm gonna start a DJ company. You know, like everybody and their brother, you know, who likes music, you know, and likes going to weddings is going to be a DJ, right? But Timmy and his partners put in the hard work the week in and week out and just have really impressed me. And they've built 30 West into a really legit company that puts on great events. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. So shout out to Timmy and Christina getting married today.
Awesome.
We wish you nothing but love and kisses forever. And I think I'm really happy, really proud of Tim, and wish him and his new wife all the best.
The only thing they could have done better is had a live recording of our show at the wedding.
I can't think of anything worse than you and me in the back of a wedding.
just spouting off.
Here comes Timmy down the aisle. What's with tuxedos anyway? Oh, man. All right. Well, congratulations. And I think we can move from that into the big news of the week. Ryan Reynolds is official. I mean, when I first saw this, I thought it was like rumor or whatever. But when I dug into it, like Deadpool 3, baby, in the works.
Yeah. Well, this is crazy. How do you think they're going to do it? I mean, what's the best way to bring this character over organically?
What do you mean?
Well, like,
what am I missing?
Well,
it feels stupid.
Okay. So Deadpool is part of the Fox Mutant X-Men universe. So he's not part of the Marvel.
Gotcha.
So either A, they reintroduce the character as a Marvel version of himself, or B, they just have the character go on as if he was always part of the universe and he just makes some funny slide. I mean, that's what they're going to do.
That's what they should do.
He's going to make some comment about how, like, the world feels so much different now. And it's so crazy. Remember those X-Men guys that we can't show? And they look totally, or they look totally different now. Or
remember when
like
they, when he went to that mansion and he was like, "Why is nobody home? It's almost like we couldn't afford."
Yeah. Or in the second one, he said something similarly, and they were like in the background, and they closed the door slowly.
No, I see this as good news, and also, I guess, a little bit like non-news. Like, it's news in the sense that, like, you have to report it and confirm, like, this is great, Deadpool 3. But it's kind of like someday we're going to be reporting that Frozen 3 is confirmed.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's great, but it's not.
I think this was a little bit more up in the air because of the merger.
Okay.
The Fox being bought by Disney.
But Deadpool is one of the only successful Fox movies.
Yeah, but at the same time, it doesn't fit. It's a Marvel thing, and it doesn't fit with the rest of the Marvel. I mean, he's much... hard. I mean, he's R.
Yeah.
Compared to the way Marvel does their superhero stuff, which is medium range, PG-13.
What movie were medium range? What movie were we talking about last week that's coming out that's rated R superhero movie?
Oh, Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey. That's right. Yeah.
Am I the only one who hates the like posters for that?
I don't love them.
Everyone's like, oh, they're so bright and colorful. And I'm like, yeah, but they look a mess.
Shout out to our manager, John.
Yeah.
I walked down the hall.
John J.
Jingleheimer Schmidt. I walked down the hall a couple weeks ago, like whenever it was like a couple days before Star Wars. And so we're getting the building ready, making sure everything's just so. And there was all these like crappy ass trailers or posters in the hallway for movies. Half of them I never heard of, and the other half of them were coming out like, you know, January 10th, or you know, they were like all crap throwaway movies.
Yeah.
So I asked John, I said, let's get some good posters up there for some good high profile movies that we can get excited about in 2020.
Okay.
Birds of Prey was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, to finish my shout out, John nailed it. He put up all these really great posters. They look really cool. And The Gentlemen, which I wouldn't necessarily call a high-profile movie. I know it comes out in January, but that poster is really cool looking. I thought the Birds of Prey poster was cool looking. The Wonder Woman poster is cool looking. There was a lot of really good posters, and I told him he really nailed it. But the reason why I mention it is because that Birds of Prey poster, artistically, it's visually pleasing to me. But business-wise, it makes me nervous because it reminds me so much of Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Why me?
Right.
Yeah.
See, also, cats. Things that make Penn nervous.
All right.
Yeah.
Slight change of subject, but not really. How do y'all keep those posters so crisp and clean? Because I know you store them rolled up.
Yeah.
Right? I've seen your organization thing. It's pretty rad. You're not a fan, but I like it. But I've seen that, and I don't know about you, but I've owned a poster, and 10 seconds after it being in my hand, I haven't even opened it yet, and it's already like crinkled up.
Right. Right. Well, typically, as soon as they stay in the tube until they go in the poster case.
But how do you know what they look like? You said he picked like high-profile.
Yeah, you take them out and you unroll them and you look at them and you lay them on the, you know, you get a clear space in the counter while everybody's, you know, there's always a really, it's one of my favorite times of day is when you're in the theater and all the movies are running and there's like a few hundred people in the building with you. But there's that nice window from when the last movie has started before the next movie starts. And it's typically like an hour. Sometimes it's 45 minutes. Sometimes it's a half hour. Sometimes it's 2 hours. Well, it's not really usually ever 2 hours, but let's call it an hour. And it's a beautiful time. You get you clean the concession stand, you restock everything, you get everything sort of situated and organized, make sure you know what you're doing. And that a lot of times is when people will lay the posters out on the counter and, you know, we all sort of stand around and comment on them. And so, yeah, I don't know. We just sort of, we've gotten skilled over the years of knowing how to unroll a poster without tearing it.
I just imagine you guys with like felt gloves, laying them out. Well, they always look so good.
Yeah, we definitely like the more excited, I was going to say the more important the movie, but the more honest statement is the more excited we are for a certain movie, the more carefully we handle it. But we did have an incident this week that we dealt with in Huntington Valley and Wilmington.
Oh, no.
Where we're showing a Bollywood movie in January, and they sent us the poster, and at both locations, when we opened the poster, it was like already crapped up and wrinkled and torn, and like literally in like we literally didn't hang it because it was in such bad condition.
Now, how long I don't know the right terminology, but the signs you have out in front of the theaters are all digital now, which is awesome.
Yeah.
How long to your posters are all digital? Like you walk down the hall and it's just maybe they look like they're poster holders, but they've got that digital screen on.
Right. So we still have the old school movie posters down the main corridors in all our theaters. And then what you're talking about is right outside the door, there's a digital sign that shows the poster and the showtime for the whatever movie's playing in that particular auditorium. I hope it's a long time before we get rid of actual posters in the hallway. Like, I guess at some point it's just going to make sense that you get rid of your poster cases and you install digital signs, digital posters.
I just imagine a future, like, when was the last... Yeah. You don't strike me as the type of guy who steps into McDonald's very often, but you go into like a fast food place now, their menus are all like digital, and you'll be looking at the menu and it's kind of annoying, but then it's like whoosh, and it's like soda like flows across it or whatever. I imagine walking down the hall and some sort of visual effect wipes across, like follows you down.
Yeah.
Like that might be really cool.
I spent some time about three years ago. I spent some time really looking into daydreaming, designing, pricing a whole digital element in the hallway. Not just digital posters, but like making the hallway like a tube.
Oh.
Like that the whole thing would be like digitalized and lights and like crazy. And I sort of had the mindset of like just making that part of the experience too. But just the budget for that was so unrealistic, and it was right around that exact same time that like you all
me
you all came back and were like, hey, you know those recliners that are at Manor? Those are really cool. I remember the conversation with you,
and
when I was like,
I'll never do it.
I was,
I'll never do recliners, and I'll never do assigned seats, and I'll never change my mind.
Right, and I'll never change my mind. No, I do remember like you and other people who were like, yeah, we totally just came back from a movie at Manor because they had recliners. And I remember thinking like, oh my God, I can't believe I got to do this. And I had, if I knew how expensive and difficult it was going to be to convert all the theaters to recliners, I would have been even more stressed out. Back then I was just annoyed because I thought like, oh, this is going to be, you know, it's going to cost a couple bucks. If I had any idea how expensive and traumatic it was going to be, I would have been beside myself. But look, you're absolutely right. I love our building right now.
Yeah.
I love the fact that on a busy Black Friday sold out shows, the theater feels more manageable. The stress level for everybody is dramatically lower. Mm-hmm. Some of us were talking over the Christmas break, talking about a busy day for us now is, you know, 4,500 people, you know, 4,500 people or so. And we were sort of reflecting back, like, how in the world did we do 7,500? I think our biggest day ever was 7,600, something like that.
Wow.
And like looking back, that was a stressful day. That, you know, that's a long, hard day.
Plus all those people are sandwiched in there.
Right, right. Yeah. And the experience for the moviegoers now is dramatically better than it ever was back in the day, which I'm super proud of. And I'm very grateful to everybody for gently nudging us.
Pushing you along. I'll never do it.
I love the IMAX too that I swore we would never build.
It's crazy how things change. All right, so back to the news.
Oh, right. We were doing a podcast.
A podcast? We're not just talking?
What?
How excited for Guardians of the Galaxy 3 are you?
100%.
100, Hundo P?
Hundo P, no reservations.
Right. Well, let me slam you with some bad news. Well, it's not bad news. It's just news. people are on James Gunn. They're like, when are you going to do it? Because he's all like, oh, I'm doing Suicide Squad. I'm doing, I don't know, what other stuff he's doing. It's going to be at least a year before they start filming Guardians 3. So
before they even start filming.
Yeah.
Which means it's at least 3 years till.
Till we see it. So, I mean, it does mean they're probably working on script and casting in the next 6 months or something, but...
Here's the thing. This piece of news, we need to, like, stick a pin in it and come back to it in 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, episode 104, we need to be looking at, was Suicide Squad good?
Mm.
Because if Suicide Squad was good and Guardians 3 is good, then this all makes perfect sense.
Right.
You know, right. And, like, great, I would definitely rather have a good Suicide Squad and a good Guardians 3 in due time.
Right. Well, I think some of the something that we kind of have forgotten is the scandal behind James Gunn that delayed everything.
Yeah.
The tweet that he had done ages ago that was inappropriate, or I don't even remember what it was, and he had been, quote-unquote, fired from Guardians,
right.
And now he's back. So I think that pushed things out way... Because in that time, he got other jobs to do other... So he got Suicide Squad right. and all that other stuff. So all that really kind of pushes it back.
Yeah. But none of that changes the fact that if the movies he's working on and is going to be working on are good, then I'm cool with waiting. I kind of feel the same way about Avatar, although I'm still trying to sort of, I'm trying to get over that a little bit. Do we have a release date on Avatar? I feel like I ask you this every week.
Didn't we talked about it last time. I thought it was like 2022 through 2027.
Yeah.
I think there's five full years of Avatar.
Better be good, boy.
I mean, according to him, it'll be the best.
We talked about this last week, but I just want to repeat myself. I hate that he started talking trash on the Avengers.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah. So I went and looked into it more because I was like, I want to understand more of what he's saying.
Yeah.
And he was referring to that if he brought Avatar back as a re-release, the cumulative total
would push it
past. Oh,
okay. I still don't like that he's talking trash, but I guess I would agree with that opinion.
You think it would?
Yeah, because it's not that dramatically. I thought he was saying that he would now make, you know, $400 million on a re-release.
No. I don't know how vastly far apart they are, but do you think that Avatar has a big enough audience as a re-release to make a couple million dollars?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
All right.
If I was given the chance to bring it back to Penn Cinema, I 100% would.
IMAX?
Yeah.
That would be the way to see it.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I wouldn't even have to hesitate.
Because that was before the IMAX was here, wasn't it?
Just, yes.
Yeah.
Just barely.
Yeah.
I got a piece of news.
Oh!
Speaking of James Cameron. Dear old dad, Pop-Pop Peter, for Christmas gave me a book called 100 Movies of All Time.
Okay.
It was one of those thick reference books that has like all kind of indexes in the back and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And really interesting book, and I'm really excited.
Yeah.
But Marley quickly noticed something.
Uh-oh.
Guess what movie is not included in the top 100 movies of all time?
Godfather.
Titanic.
What?
Now, I'm not saying it should be, but I'm just saying, like, isn't that interesting? Wouldn't you? I swear I kind of would have thought Titanic would be in there. Now, granted, it's not a book about the top 100 grossing movies of all time.
Okay.
The book is one of those movies that has nothing to do. The book is one of those movies. That's what I said.
That's the only way to get you to read something.
That's what I said. The book is one of those movies that has no interest in. It's like all like it's weight. I noticed that it's weighted heavily towards like old school, like classics. Like, for example, on the back cover, there's like, I think there were 9 movie posters. So you know how they put like little poster pictures of the posters?
And they were all Turner classics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had seen 3 of them of the 9. Like, for example, you know, I think I didn't look to see what was number 1, but surely I think Wizard of Oz will be this book's number 1. Like that, they're of that mentality.
Okay.
You know,
I got you. Real talk?
Real talk, baby.
I've never seen Titanic. I know. I just blew your mind. What? I mean, I've seen scenes, and I'm very familiar with the story. I would watch it.
Familiar with the story? Yeah. You know, for a long time, Titanic was in my list of top five favorite movies.
Really?
Yeah.
I would. I have no objection to watching it. When it came out, there was all this hubbub, and I was at the age where people weren't seeing it because of the nudity.
Did you hear that sound just now?
What was that?
It was the sound of Marley turning off the podcast. Now that she knows you haven't seen Titanic. Either that or it was the sound of Marley jumping in her car and driving over here with a copy of her favorite all-time movie.
And a crowbar.
Movie. Right, and a crowbar.
Beat me into submission right. to watching it. Right.
Some toothpicks to hold your eyelids open yeah. a la Clockwork Orange.
You know. Exactly. No, I'll totally watch it. And then it just got to the point where it was like, anytime I wanted to watch it, my friends were like, it's too long. I don't want to spend that much time.
Oh, my God.
Because at the time, it was like three VHSs
It is a good long movie.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to some James Bond news.
Okay.
First of all, I want to sort of call out the fact that I love the buildup to James Bond.
Oh, yeah?
To No Time to Die. I love the fact that we have real interesting things to talk about, a brilliant trailer, a brilliant standee in the lobby. I love the direction we're heading towards this April release. And then this latest story is kind of interesting about Lashana Lynch and Ana de Armas.
Yeah.
And what are they saying? They're basically saying like that they're really proud of the energy that they're bringing to the franchise. And even though they're both super gorgeous and will use their feminine ways to take advantage of or spy or do whatever spies do,
yeah,
they're going to also, and perhaps more importantly, be solid, substantial characters.
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. They're saying they're not going to be objectified or made out to be damsels in distress that James Bond has to save.
Right.
So that using their looks is a part of their job.
I think that's
as a
key.
Spy.
I think that's the key. Is that James Bond doesn't have to save.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, and that they're going to be totally capable on their own. I mean, let's be realistic here. Of all of them going into this movie, I see the most potential for spinoff with these, like,
yeah,
with these characters.
I want to say on record, I think I've said this before, I'm ready for a female James Bond.
Mm. Do you want it to be just like 007 with a lady, or do you want him to call him James?
No. Jamie Bond. No, a double O.
Just a 007.
Yeah. But right. She wouldn't, 007 is particular to James Bond. She would have to be like 006 or 0013 or something.
Right. Right. And I think she is a 00 in the, or the one girl's a 00. Yeah. So I'm all for it.
How about that? A spinoff movie just called 00.
Mm.
That's a great title.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Did you hear that sound? That's the sound of Pirate Dave writing in all the other places that people have talked about 00 as a standalone movie title.
Other standalone spinoffs.
Don't you guys remember reviewing that movie last year when it came out?
All right. Michael B. Jordan. He can neither confirm nor deny rumors that he's met with Warner Brothers to discuss seceding Henry Cavill in the role of Superman. Now,
David, I have a question.
Yeah.
I would like you, for once, to answer straight up.
What? Have
you ever met with Warner Brothers to secede Henry Cavill in the role of Superman?
Well, this is why I brought this news up. Because I can deny it. Because I've been meeting with them to secede Henry Cavill as Superman.
When somebody says they can neither deny nor confirm, that means that it's true.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't true, they'd just be like, "You're crazy."
I didn't put the quote in here, but it was pretty great the way he said it. It's like, people always say I'm playing this character and I'm playing that character and I'm playing this character, and he's like, I'm not gonna say no because if I got offered it, I'd take it, but I'm not gonna say yes because I haven't been offered it, and it was just kind of a very like,
Felt honest.
Yeah, it was honest, and it was almost kind of like kind of like he was joking around with, clearly joking around, being like, I don't know what's going on, you know, with my life. Like, I could do this later in life, but
yeah.
I think it'd be cool to see him as Superman. I think it'd be cool to see him as a lot of things. Guy's a great actor.
Oh my God, Michael B. Jordan?
Yeah, he's insane.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he would be my number one pick for Superman right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Who else? Maybe Daniel Craig 10 years ago.
Nicolas Cage. 10 years ago.
Samuel L. Jackson.
You ever seen those pictures of Nicolas Cage as Superman?
No.
Oh, they're horrible. They're horrible.
All right, walk me through Bloodshot.
Okay. We reviewed the trailer for this.
Of course we did.
Do you remember?
100%. Of course I remember Bloodshot.
My favorite
the trailer.
Trailer with Vin Diesel.
Okay.
With
I don't remember it at all. Like, not even remotely.
With robots in his blood, and he can get shot and heals right away.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wolverine style. Right. Wolverine right. style. They're pushing it back. Huge shocker. It's now going to reach theaters March 13th, 2020.
When was it originally scheduled? Because March 13th is not far away.
I thought it was like February or something.
I thought it was January, February.
Yeah. So,
I don't think this news is a big deal because I don't think this movie is a big deal.
You know what it was when I put it on here?
You were like, let's just see if Penn remembers watching this trailer.
No, in my head, I was like, March 2020. Wow, that's so far. How many months did they push it back? Like, I was like, I can't believe they're pushing it back. And now I realize, now that you say it, like, that's tomorrow, basically. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Do you remember New Mutants?
Yes.
We've talked about this couple times. It was originally slated to come out in 2018. They filmed it.
Right.
It stars Mossy Williams, a bunch of other people, and they were like, this is going to be X-Men, but a horror movie.
Very dark.
Yeah. They're in an asylum, and they're dealing with these, like, their personal demons, maybe
real
demons.
Sidebar.
Yeah.
Shout out to Devin, the former general manager at the New Main.
Okay.
A little twin movie theater up in Ephrata. Shout out to the New Main. What up? Devin.
Yeah.
Put the trailer for New Mutants on, I forget what, but it might have been like Spidey or like some movie that like families were all coming in. And I remember like, Devin, you can't put, it was like one of the all time like worst trailer placements ever.
And because it just had mutants in the name, right?
No, she put it on there. You got to know, I love Devin. Big fan. But she put it on there because she was excited for New Mutants.
Sure enough.
You know, she's a big fan, and you know, she was like, oh, this movie's going to be awesome. I was like, but the mom with her 10-year-old watching Spidey doesn't care.
Yeah,
you know?
Right, right. Well, here's the thing.
All right, so anyway, sorry for that diversion.
Yeah. Fox got sold.
Yeah.
Fox was holding it because Fox apparently believed that it was bad. Horrible movie.
Okay.
And then Disney bought Fox, and they're like, well, what are they going to do with this movie that's been filmed?
Right.
They've done two or so reshoots for
and trailers and everything.
Yeah. Is it actually ever going to come out? Then the last time it had a release date was for April 2020.
Okay.
And then the rumor was that it was dead. Well, now.
But everybody knows April 2020 is no time to die.
Whoa. I see what you did there. Burr, 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 burr.
What's up?
Give me some applause for that. So, anyway, it's rumored to have a trailer next month in January.
A new trailer.
So that comes from the director. So do you think this is going to come out at all? Or do you think he's just like hopelessly throwing out hope for his movie that no one wants to see? Except for Devin.
Maybe it gets a September 2020 release?
September, October
release. We'll see. I will say, I feel like movies like this, no matter how bad the movie is, it's going to make a couple bucks. Like, somebody at Disney is going to look at this movie that has been filmed and completed and say, hey, we could spend $10 million in marketing / rewrites or, you know, touch it up a little bit, put it out. It's going to make $20 million. That's $8 million profit, you know, better than zero. It's not much, but it's better than zero. I don't know. I feel like there's...
Do you think they risk it or do they just throw it on Disney Plus?
Oh, right. That could be. Yeah, yeah, that could be. I forgot about that. This new world that we're living in.
Right.
That's a very viable,
I'm curious to see what they do there.
Yeah.
Anyway, all so right. That's our news for this week. Moving on to trailers. We've been getting a lot of trailers from Saban Films.
Saban.
Saban.
No, Saban Films, and I don't know. I have no idea how you're supposed to say it, but they have been renting out, they've been doing four walls in Wilmington. And if you don't know what a four wall is, go back a couple episodes. We dug into it and spelled that out. And it's interesting to me now, it's kind of like when you learn a new word. Like, as soon as you learn a new word, now all of a sudden you hear it in conversation
everywhere,
all over the place.
Yeah.
And so you put this trailer on our list. The movie is called John Henry. And I just thought it was interesting. I don't know if it's going to come to theaters or straight to video on demand, but I feel like Saban Films is sort of one of those bubble studios. Like, it could be a little bit of both, but it leans heavily towards VOD.
Yeah, that's the thing. I can never tell with their stuff. Yeah. I feel like they make everything with the intent to release it in theaters.
Yeah.
But then at the last second, they're like, meh. Just throw it at home.
One thing I want to say about this movie, I don't think it looks very good.
No, it doesn't.
But for those of us who enjoy mythology and folk tales and old classic American folk tales, are you familiar with the legend of John Henry?
I knew it was legend, but I couldn't remember what it was.
The legend of John Henry is a guy who drives railroad spikes as they laid the railroad across the country. And the question is, can he drive more spikes than the machine? Because around this time they started inventing machines, you know, and there's this whole American angst of like man versus machine. And it was he was essentially, in my own words, he was the first guy to lose his job to the machine. But the story is John Henry's hammer. And there's some great folk music about John Henry and his hammer. There's a song by, Jerry Garcia covered a classic old acoustic version of that. But Johnny Cash has a great, sort of the definitive song about John Henry. And the idea is, you know, the hammer that killed John Henry, you know, because he basically kills himself beating this machine. But he does, you know, and this kind of thing. So this movie kind of looks like crap. But somebody with some intelligence wrote the story, because throughout the trailer, you see the main character whose name is John Henry, and he's slinging that sledgehammer.
Sledgehammer, yeah.
You know, and so somebody drew some great sort of iconic imagery, you know, and sort of somebody is drawing on that legend of John Henry in putting this movie together. Even the bad guy that he faces, his face is sort of artificial, I guess, from where he got burnt, you know, but you could, it's a little bit of a stretch, but you could believe that that guy's a little bit represents a little bit the machine.
Right. And he has a gold jaw from part was like a bejeweled jaw. Two actors that I would say are B list. They're not quite A list, but Terry Crews and Ludacris, like, they're not bad actors.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not like the best, but.
You give them a B?
I was a B.
All right.
I would say they're above C.
Barely.
Whoa.
Speaking of barely.
Oh.
Awoken.
This looks horrible.
Another straight to video on demand.
Is it really?
No, I don't.
But it looks like it's Rialto, says in theaters.
And they, you know, they'll do a little theatrical run. They'll call me to play this movie, and depending on the date, I may or may not. Mm. You know, don't waste your time. Awoken. It's a horror movie based apparently on every other horror movie ever made.
Yeah, Penn, the guy opened his mouth really wide. That's like the sign of every good horror film.
And his eyes turned white.
Yeah.
All right. The Gentleman, trailer 2. Oh.
I like this one. Man, the Christmas themed music in the background and just like the short quips and the lines. So you have one here, when the lion's hungry,
he eats.
I am pumped for this movie.
Me too.
I Guy Ritchie is due another great hit.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping good thing. I cannot get over how I don't recognize Hugh Grant as that guy. So, I think it looks fabulous. I'm pumped.
Yeah,
same. It's just missing Daniel Craig. Buffaloed. This is a Magnolia Pictures film. And
stars Zoe Deutsch.
Zoe Deutsch. Now, here's the thing. This started off, and I was like, okay, I get what this is. It looks like a decent film. By the end of it, I could not care anymore. I didn't want to see this movie. I was just like, I wanted to stop the trailer. I was just, not that I hated it. I just was like so bored with the premise, and the acting just felt very bland to me. What did you think?
I disagree.
You loved it.
I mean, love is a strong word. It does come out on Valentine's Day, though, so why not? All right, I loved it. No, I did enjoy it. I mean, I think Zoe Deutsch is great. I loved her in Zombieland 2. I thought the premise was a little bit sort of like it's been done. You know what I mean? I'm sure if I thought about it long enough, I could tell you I could make that obnoxious comment people make where they're like, I like this movie better when it came out and it was called, you know, whatever,
Godzilla.
Ocean's 11, you know, but you know, whatever. Okay. So, to me, this movie, like, it's not going to be my movie of the year, obviously, but, I don't know. I think I thought it was really cool. I thought it was really sharp and, I don't know. I'll give it a shot.
You want to hear some contradicting news?
Yeah.
It was my trailer of the week.
I know why it was your trailer of the week, though. Although I'm surprised that Gentleman 2 wasn't your trailer.
Oh, you know what? Gentleman 2 is trailer of the week. How quickly I forgot.
My trailer of the week?
Yeah.
The Japanese trailer for Sonic. For Baby Sonic. Which you didn't see.
I didn't see this. Tell me why.
Why?
Yeah.
Just because it was cool.
Yeah?
Like, I just thought it was cool. And part of it was I felt super hip for watching a Japanese language trailer.
Oh.
I have no idea what it what
is. I thought you walked over here with some swagger.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, what's going on with this guy?
Look at this guy. yeah, so I mean, it's a trailer that it also made me feel good about Sonic. I love the fact that it's a little bit unusual that they're leaning into a Japanese release before coming. Not that it's releasing before it releases in America, and it might, I don't really know, but I love the fact that there's a trailer available in Japan in Japanese that we don't have in America.
I
think there's something to be said for that. And of course it'll eventually be released as an American trailer in English and everything like that. But the reason why everybody calls it the Baby Sonic trailer is because it has a shot of, you know, little baby Sonic.
Right.
I don't know. I thought it was cute. I thought it was cool. And I'm on board, and that was my trailer of the week. And I posted on our Facebook page, the Penn Cinema Podcast Facebook page, the Japanese poster for Sonic, which features baby Sonic.
Oh, snap.
Pretty cute.
I'm going to have to check it. It's out.
So that was my trailer of the week, but I have to say it was pretty much tied with how much I loved the Gentleman trailer.
Gentleman trailer is pretty good.
So good.
Yeah. Now, harking back to the Buffaloed. Is Zoe Deutsch, is she in Jumanji as well?
I don't think so.
She's not the blonde?
She might be, but I don't know. She's not.
Okay. All right. Anyway. All right. Let's talk about what happened this week in the theaters. Big week. Big holiday week. Christmas just passed. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Happy days.
So here's the thing. It's always a big week for us, for every movie theater.
Yeah.
And this year was no exception. As much of a buzz about how Cats flopped, I'm not ready to call it a flop. It definitely underperformed. It was definitely a disappointment. But we put it down the hall in a small theater, which just freed up a big theater for Little Women. Mm-hmm. You know, so 3 months ago or longer, I would have said, oh, Little Women will be down in Theater 7 and Cats will be selling out in Theater 10. It was just flip-flopped, you know. Yeah. So we put Cats in Theater 7 or 8 or whatever, and Little Women's in Theater 10 selling out, which is fine. Star Wars fills up the big houses. Jumanji fills up the other big houses. Little Women gets Theater 10. Pretty predictable. The one thing that was not predictable, and maybe I would even, just for me personally, because I was so excited about it, would call it a little bit of a disappointment. Frozen 2, when I looked at the calendar and planned out auditoriums and pictured how the Christmas week, how that period was going to go, I thought Frozen 2 should have really fallen away because Spies in Disguise should be the big kids movie. No way. Frozen 2 is by far the big kids movie this Christmas.
Yeah.
Frozen 2, which you may recall, came out well in advance of Thanksgiving.
Right.
We're in our seventh week of Frozen 2, and it's the number three. It's the number three movie in the building.
Wow. So Star Wars, Jumanji, Frozen.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and then Pretty Woman, or Woman. No, Little Women.
Little Women.
Little Women.
Get your women straight.
Get your women straight, son. Yeah, so I just thought the Frozen, the performance of Frozen, which is going to push it clearly past $1 billion, you know, that, I mean, I knew Frozen would still be here and I knew it would still be doing well. But I was favorably impressed and surprised at how well it did or is still doing. So I came in Friday night and Saturday morning to swap out shows of Spies in Disguise in our biggest theaters and turned them in with zero tickets pre-sold, turned them into Frozen shows, which as we're sitting here recording are sold out in the big houses.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go.
Wow.
So that's, I don't know, the rest of the news, you know, is pretty predictable and pretty normal, consistent with what you would call national news.
Yeah.
So.
Well, now we're going to get into Little Women, our review for this week. And Penn told me he doesn't like short women, so he doesn't want to see this movie.
Here's what happened to me. I haven't seen this movie yet. I'm anxious to see it. I haven't seen it yet because the girls said they want to see it with me.
That's legit.
So we're going to take the fam and we're going to watch it sometime. But here's the one thing I'll contribute to this review.
Okay.
Two things.
Oh.
Everybody who has seen this has loved this movie. I don't know. We'll find out in a minute if that holds up true. But we had friends come over to the house last night, two nights ago. And they came to the house for dessert after having... They came to the house straight from watching Little Women. And they walked in and they all looked exhausted. And the mom was like, I got to wash my face. I've been crying for the last 2 hours. That movie was beautiful. That was the best movie. Like, they just loved it. And so my question to you is, like, they came in like tears in their eyes, had been crying for 2 hours. Did you cry? Was this some, I didn't realize this was supposed to be such an emotional movie, or maybe it was just them.
I didn't cry.
Heartless bastard.
I know. I said I was a fool for love, but I'm not that foolish.
Oh, my God.
So before going in, I was talking to Mr. Manager and one of the other employees, and she was like, oh, my gosh, I love it. You're going to love it so much. She's like, I cried so much. And then another girl came up, and she's like, we went in to clean, and we caught the last, like, minute of the movie, and she started crying again.
Well, she's waiting to cry, yeah. Waiting to clean it.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed this movie a lot. I have one small complaint, which I'll get to. But let me just say, every woman in this movie is a freaking powerhouse actress.
Mm.
Like, blown away. It's just so good. Like, I don't know. Like, the emotions, the anger, the sorrow, the highs and the lows, they just really convey a lot through it, which is, okay, so maybe two little complaints, but so the first one is the movie, I've seen Little Women before, and I don't recall it, I recall it being told in more of a continuous continuity type story, like beginning to end.
Gotcha.
This movie jumps back, like, between a seven-year gap and slowly, like, catches itself up to where the movie started.
I like that style of storytelling, though. I'll see for myself if it works in the movie, but I typically enjoy movies that do that.
I like it as a choice. Like, I think it helps the movie. I think if it wasn't like that, I would have felt like it was a little bit boring. Like, I don't know, not necessarily boring, but a little bit long in tooth.
Yeah.
But and because it does that, it stays, like, relevant. The problem that I had was they use the same, it's only 7 years, so it's not that big of a difference, but they are significantly younger 7 years ago because they're only like 20. So, but they use the same actresses. And in the beginning of the movie, I had a difficult time tracking when the switch happened.
Gotcha.
Because they didn't have enough of a visual difference. Like, eventually through the story, like, they have different hairstyles and stuff, and then you can track it really easy. But at the beginning, it was a bit jarring. So that's I guess both of my complaints there. It's that they use the same actresses and that the time jumps were jarring. However, if I had actresses as great as this, I wouldn't want to switch them out for anything less either. So it's like totally understandable. And at by the end of the movie, it totally pays off that they did that. And is wonderful. I don't know, maybe a costume design could have been better or something to differentiate time. But I thought the Timothée Chalamet, man, I knew that he was good. But now I'm just like, I cannot wait for Dune.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, he's the lead in Dune, and I am just like, man, I'm pumped. So I just thought this movie was fantastic, and I see why it's selling out, and I see the audience appeal, and while I may not have cried because I have no feelings, I did cry during Star Wars. I think it's great, and I think that if this is your type of thing, definitely go see it. I loved the trailers beforehand. I think the last trailer was Emma, which was like spot on perfect for the audience. Yeah. People were laughing and like totally ready to go see it. So I highly recommend.
Did they enjoy the New Mutants trailer?
Yeah. Yeah. It fit perfectly.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought Mr. Manager was like, yeah, man, you could be like the youngest person in the audience. And I was like, nah, I'm just joking around, but...
You were.
I was. I probably wasn't, but it was... I wasn't expecting the demographic to be so high in age-wise.
Yeah.
It was great. Fantastic. Highly recommend. Totally on board. Definitely go watch it with the girls. Bring some tissues. And then be the sensitive dad. Be like, I got you covered.
Oh, nice.
Look what I got for you.
Starting January 3rd...
Yeah.
Little Women will play clean in Theater 10, and it will also be getting open caption shows in Theater 1.
Nice.
Yeah. So we think that'll be well received.
Very, very cool. Yeah. This is the type of movie that, like, even though it's an old story, like, I totally would not mind seeing it again at some point. You know, like, I thought it was just very, very, very well done.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right.
So there you have it.
Cool. Cool beans.
All right. Now we're moving on to listener questions, answers, notes, and more.
Listener questions and answers. Listener's notes, questions and answers.
Yeah.
We still have not gotten anybody who sent in an answer. I want someone to send us an answer to a question we didn't ask.
We didn't ask. 32. What?
What?
You wanted to know.
Did you know that's a pet peeve of mine? When people walk up to you and they say, question. Like, what are we doing here? We're announcing a question, you know.
My new favorite thing to do to you. question.
Question. That's like a Dwight Schrute thing.
And then I'm not going to have a question to back it up.
Right. No, I just wanted to say a statement. Question. So our first listener notes comes from Joel Codes, who may have sent in the best, I don't know, that's... Pirate Dave has sent in some really insightful film reviews in the previous 48 weeks, 49 weeks. But I don't know. Joel sent in a pretty sharp analysis of Star Wars.
Let's hear it.
Didn't you agree that was pretty interesting?
Yeah. What do you got?
Well, first of all, he raises something that I actually had been meaning to talk about.
Children.
This issue, I'm just going to let that... I just it didn't even happen.
His face is trying to move past it. You can see him struggling.
I want to move past it so bad.
Anyway.
And now I'm laughing like an idiot. You know how sometimes, like, people talk about stuff, and in order to talk about stuff, we as a community coin new sort of phrases?
Yeah.
The phrase that has been coined by Star Wars, which I find obnoxious, is people refer to fan service.
Mm.
First of all, as if it's a bad thing. Like, all the Star Wars snobs are like, oh, I didn't appreciate all the fan service. And this phrase, I don't know when it was first coined, but it came up, we first heard this topic of conversation with The Force Awakens. Okay. Because everybody said, it's too much like The New Hope. It's too much like episode four, you know, and they're just trying to, which I'm walking around after The Force Awakens going, I loved it because I loved all the tie-ins, you know.
Yeah.
That's like saying, you know, oh, they just put chocolate frosting on the chocolate cake because they knew the guys would enjoy the frosting. Like, well, yeah, no shit. I mean, that's the, that's the idea. So Joel points out one of his problems with it, I'm sorry, he liked it. He gave it, I think, pretty high ratings. But one of the reasons why it was not perfect was, and I quote, a little too much fan service that didn't really fit in the plot well. I whatever. But I just, I only raise that to say it's interesting that we now have this thing called fan service.
Yeah.
That we're, you know, what are we saying? Or is that like gratuitous nudity? Is that like this thing where like we can now say, oh, you know, it had too much fan service and we can.
Nostalgia cash grab.
Yeah, cash grab. That's, yeah. Nostalgic cash grab.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it had some fan service and maybe it had too much, but I didn't, I guess I disagree with Joel because I did, I don't think it interrupted the plot. I don't think it took away from the plot.
I'll agree with that. I think that it was fine.
Yeah. He had two problems that kept, that also kept it.
Okay.
Joel had some problems.
What's your problem? With Joel.
With Joel. And now we introduce a new segment. What's your problem?
With Joel.
With Joel. He had a big problem with the kiss.
Yeah, I had a big problem with the kiss, too.
Okay.
Do you remember what happened in the theater when that happened?
Yeah.
There was a lot of, no!
Yeah, there was a lot of groaning. And I guess I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I fully agree with, like, it was unnecessary. It was illogical. It doesn't add to anything. A passionate hug between two, you know, warriors who just, you know, like, it didn't feel right. I'm fully on board with Joel's problem here. Now, this one, I'm curious about your take on this.
Okay.
Because I didn't really think anything of it when I was watching the movie. And now, if we're going to really dissect it, what did you, how did you feel about teleporting objects between the Force?
This is something that I hated in all of the other movies. And that, but I thought the payoff of, in this movie, it was like, well, finally, is something worth my time happened in this one. Like it, and they had a few more payoffs. Like when they were, when they were tracking each other and like the stuff that he was able to figure out where she was.
She's in my quarters.
Right. Like that part was, but before it was just kind of dumb. Like, because it appeared in the last movie, I think is the first time, and it was just like water splashed on her and he got wet.
Yeah.
And I was just like, "What's that's why?" But it paid off in this movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I was kind of cool with it. Like, it didn't necessarily bother me.
It would have bothered me more if we had not had that payoff.
Yeah. So he loved Babu Frick as I did.
Everyone loves Babu Frick.
And he was able to. Oh, my oldest friend. That was one of the great lines.
Yeah.
Joel Coates was able to put into words something that I was sort of articulating, but Joel sort of said it much more succinctly. Remember how I was saying how great Adam Driver did?
Yeah.
I thought he's worthy of an Oscar nomination and really terrific. And but Joel sort of put a point, a sharper point on it. Joel pointed out that one of the things that was so impressive about Adam Driver's performance is how he made the switch from Kylo to Ben.
Yeah.
As an actor, you know, and you saw it happening on screen and the plot, and there was all kinds of other things. But his sort of assumption of the really almost two very different characters, like as Han Solo said, like, no, Kylo Ren is dead. My son is alive and well, like that type of thing. Yeah, that was really, I guess that really is the point of distinction that, you know, calls to light the incredible. I'm totally serious. I think Adam Driver should get an Oscar nomination for Best Actor.
Here's the thing about that accentuates that fact that he's a great actor. That switch happens, and the moment he switches back to Ben Solo, he has no more lines in the movie.
Oh.
So he conveys a change in character purely off of facial expression. He doesn't have another word in the movie.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right? It's all through
yeah.
just, you know, facial and just looks and stuff.
He'll never get the Oscar.
Because he didn't talk.
No, because he's in Star Wars.
Yeah, Star
like,
Wars,
God forbid, yeah. it's a good movie that the world enjoyed.
Pop culture, no way,
right.
Jose.
Right, no yeah. way, Jose. So anyway, shout out to Joel. Thanks for a very insightful review.
Speaking of the movie Cats, Black Bumper Becky wrote in and she says, can we get cat codes? I'm tired. I don't need these Joel codes. I need cat codes so I completely pretend this movie doesn't exist and mark them off.
What if we put codes for like all kinds of annoying things?
Every time we use the word the.
Anytime Penn speaks. I'd like to know when Penn is talking so I can skip over that.
Yeah, so she was pretty adamant. She doesn't want to hear about cats.
Hey, remember that time we had an idea for we should do a podcast to help people sleep? And then somebody wrote in and was like, you already do. That was one of the all-time burns. That
I
was
forgot
great.
About that.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so good. Yeah.
I don't know who wrote that in, but I'm just like sitting here going through our catalog of like people who write in regularly. Mm-hmm. It could be any one of them.
Yeah, I know. They all burn us.
Rotten bastards.
That's why we love them.
Mystery Gobble had a little complaint about the runtime.
Yeah.
Felt as though we ran a little long. It's inconvenient for him on account of his commute. He listens to us on his way to work and then finishes the episode on the way back. He was not able to listen to our entire episode in his car ride. So I helpfully offered, like, well, maybe you should get a new job further away from home. Yeah.
Have you thought about moving?
Where's your priorities, bro? Come on, bro. And one last shout out to we thought we knew who our number one fan was.
Oh, we had no clue.
We thought it was Marley and the Brajas from the Praha.
Oh.
But it turns out that our real number one fan is Aaron. Shout out. What's up? College student, hardworking college student, loves the show.
Oh,
happy to have her join the ranks.
One of our favorites.
One of our favorites.
Our absolute number one favorite.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need like a definite plaque for number one fan. Like up in here. Go straight up to Aaron. Remember the times.
Oh, the good times we had.
All right, let's move on to what are you watching? What are you reading? We might actually get done today in a reasonable Mystery Gobble time fashion.
Yeah, so I've been super busy.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
Like, haven't you? I mean, you've
Happy
been busy,
Honda
too.
Days. Yeah,
yeah,
for
I
sure.
Mean, it's crazy. But I did watch a lot of – I've been watching a lot of football. I know that's not your thing, but I love football.
But it's college football season?
I've been watching a lot of college football, but it's also coming down to the wire. I wanted to watch my beloved Patriots finish strong, you know, and they're going to finish strong again in Miami this afternoon. But I've just been watching a lot of football. And for Christmas, I got Meb Keflezighi's new book, 26 Marathons, and it's fascinating.
Ooh.
So I've been reading that. It skipped ahead a line in front of Dune.
How many complaints I get from people who are like, when is Penn going to read? Doesn't that bother you that he puts every other book ahead of Dune? And I'm like, what am I going to do? He's either reading it or he's not. And he's not.
You should have snuck into my house on Christmas Eve and taken out all the running books out from under the tree.
Taking out all the every book is just Dune. It's such a thing. It came up on the Dune Saga podcast yesterday we were recording, and it came up. One of the other hosts was like, hey, I've listened to the Penn Cinema podcast. And when's Penn going to listen
all right,
to
all right.
to
Dune? I'm going to consider myself called out.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to get serious.
There you go. He said, from your future manager, Penn Cinema West,
yes.
Kearney, Nebraska.
Yes. Wow.
So, all right. My week was busy, but I definitely made some time.
Yeah.
I made some time to see Star Wars again for probably the last time in theaters. And I saw Jumanji, the next level, which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely hilarious. I really did love it. And big surprise, Captain, I have no time for this, but I am really enjoying The Witcher.
Oh.
I like, it's not like the best thing ever, but I watch it and I'm like, man, this is so good. It like makes The Mandalorian look bad to me.
Didn't we review the trailer on the show just because we thought it looked so good that we were like, well, we're going to include it? Or did we think it was a movie? Or did I think it was a movie?
I felt like we should look at the trailer because it looked good. You turned it off within 10 seconds during the live show and started writing an email because it apparently looked like everything else you've ever seen ever.
Oh, don't I feel like an ass?
No time for it.
Wow. So I'm going to have to rethink my words because you're like the third person who's like asking me, like, you seen The Witcher? Oh my God, it's so good.
One of the things that I love about this movie or the show is... It's got a little bit gore to it, but it once per episode, or maybe even less, they allow themselves to drop an F-bomb.
Nice.
And every time, it's so perfectly hilariously poignant that it just like you're just like, oh yeah, like just it's always out of pure exasperation from the character.
So I'm glad you mentioned that because I forgot that I wanted to say something about Mrs. Maisel.
Oh,
they should. We should petition the Emmys to have an Emmy for best use of the F-bomb because some people use it casually.
Yeah.
With no skill or, you know, right. finesse or no respect for what an awesome word it is and how it could be used in so many ways.
I mean, if anyone has their pinky out about this, right. it's definitely you.
Definitely me. I consider myself a master. I've been dropping the F-bomb since I was 5 years old.
Oh, stop.
I'm really good at it. What? It's on the short list of things I'm good at.
I'm just in my head. I'm like, what is it, an F-bomb connoisseur or a curator of the F-bomb? Like, what do we call someone of your esteemed level of F-bombship?
F-bologist.
F-bologist.
He's an F-bologist. So if there was such an award for the Emmys for use of the F-bomb, Mrs. Maisel would surely take the award this year.
Okay, yeah. So it was that fantastic.
Shout out to them. And apparently The Witcher should also be included.
Yeah, should be nominated. It's just
fellow
so great.
F-bombologist.
Yeah.
F-bologist.
F-bombologist. I can't even. All right. Look, we would love to hear from you guys. Send us some answers, questions, comments, whatever you want. podcast@penncinema.com. Number one way to get in touch with us. We'll even give you a nickname. Free of charge. Of course, we'd love it if you could leave us a review on whatever the system that you're using to get our show. And if you do it on iTunes and you can make Penn laugh, there's always an opportunity to win some IMAX tickets.
But I'm super grown up now, so that's, you know, good luck.
Yeah. I mean, he has a degree in F-bombology.
Right.
So the number one way you can help us, though, is definitely tell a friend. Hey, check out this great show that I'm listening to. These guys are idiots, but they're hilarious. We'd love it if you listened to them. So, once again, for the Penn Cinema,
come see us January 19th, 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon at Zootropolis for the live podcast. You can chime in about the best and worst of 2019 and what you're most excited about in 2020.
Now, this is a free show, and it's at the Zootropolis Stillhouse, but as I understand, all age, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's yeah. So definitely come on out. We'd love to see you there. Hear some vocal adage. You know, if you spit up some stuff, why? Because you're laughing so hard. Don't be embarrassed. Everyone's going to be doing it.
Everybody snarfs.
Yeah. All right. So once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.